Viktor Frankl said, "Everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms. To choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's way." This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson. Stay tuned for the next hour as Sue explores the human psyche, what makes us tick, and how to live better, more fulfilled, and more meaningful lives. Only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson on the Finding Human program, and I am my own guest today. I'm sitting with Craig in the studio, which is great. I've come back from a few weeks of being away, and in that time, I must admit that my inner pendulum swung from despair to hope to anger and then back again. I was off my, for some unknown reason, my phone decided to stop all connectivity. And I am a person who sits on my phone. I look at every single news site available on Israel News, on other news sites, and I've got groups reporting things to me all day. And I didn't realize, quite honestly, how this was running my life. And all of a sudden, I went from one MTN shop to another, and they couldn't fix it. So I actually just had to eventually accept that this is what was going to happen. And every now and again, I would connect to my husband's phone, but it wasn't the same. But in that time, I came to realize how much time I was wasting, first of all, on the news, and also that I had stopped reading. And I had taken Douglas Murray's book with me on death cults, and I decided to start reading that. Particularly interesting book, I must admit. So I got back that at least, and I felt a bit better that I was doing something positive. But I also was realizing that many of the articles that are being written today are so skewed. They really are. And I'm sure many of you have seen the latest articles on the starving children in Gaza, especially the one of little Muhammad. And I would just like to say that yesterday, I was devastated by that, I must admit. But yesterday I was listening to Rolene Marx's podcast, and in it she said, please go on to Lay of the Land website and read up on David Collier's article, The Truth Behind the Viral Image of a Starving Child. And so I actually went onto it and I read it, and I was quite amazed. I cannot believe how they can skew an article of a little boy who's got a severe genetic disability and disorder, how they can actually have him as a front page news. It was on Sky News, it was on CNN, The Guardian, Daily Mirror, The Times, and these images show this terribly emaciated little boy. But what they're not showing is that he's had treatment since birth. And in the one image that David Collier actually shows is of his mother, this little Muhammad's mother, and his brother, who's 3 years old and well-fed. His mother and the little boy are well-fed. So I must admit that made me feel such heartache for what can we believe in? What do we take from the news nowadays? And the reason why I had gone on to so many different news sites was because I was trying to get an answer somewhere. I was certainly not only on Jewish news sites. I was on many. And what I began to realize is that I actually knew nothing about the truth. Thank you, Craig.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue, and you're about to listen to a very short audio clip by Yuval Noah Harari called Israel is Fighting for the Humanity, Its Humanity and Sanity.
When you witness such things, what it does to you is it just breaks your trust in humanity itself. In this sense, this is a crime against humanity in the deepest sense. Not just killing humans, but just losing all trust in humanity. And I hope that, you know, Israel now is in a battle not just to disarm Hamas, to protect its territory, to protect its civilians. It's in a battle to protect its humanity and its sanity. And I hope that we win all these battles, not just one of them.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, I'm back. And that was Yuval Noah Harari. If you want to see it, you can find him on YouTube. And well, what he said about trying to save our humanity and sanity. And in this unbelievable time of Jew hatred, which is spreading around the globe, and the demonization of Israel and of Jews globally, we have to give each other support against this. Now, I have fortunately many friends of various religions, and I discuss things with them. I get support from them. I am very, very lucky. But we need to look at where we're getting our support. Try and reach out to other people as well. And recognize that each of us is a voice, and we each need to be a light almost in this time, a light to ourselves as well. While I was on holiday, some of my family were staying at various hotels, and the hotels were very, very mixed. It was in Umhlanga. They were mixed with many Jews, many Muslims. And one day I went to go and visit, to go and see my grandchildren, my children. And I was actually very amused because apart from the varying skin colors, there's just such similarity between the young Muslim children and the young Jewish children. So I said to my grandson, I was watching what was going on there with everyone sort of seemed to be coming and going. And I said, has there been any trouble? And he's a teenager, and he looked at me almost in disbelief, which I was quite surprised by. I realized it was my issue. And he said to me, no, we haven't had any problem. I said, but have you been mixing? He said, yes, everyone has. Anyway, then my younger grandson said, I pushed someone. I said, did you? Why? So he said, well, because he pushed someone else, my friend. So I said, oh, so then what did you do? Now, he didn't tell me whether it was a Jew that he had pushed or a Muslim or a Christian or anyone else. He just said he had pushed. So I said, so then what did you do? He said, we went on playing soccer. So I had to relook at my own perception here of thinking that, you know, perhaps this now they were not going to be playing soccer or rugby or frisbee or anything else. But there you are, they were. And it gave me hope, I must admit, a hope for a future, a better future. And one day I was at Woolworths and I was trying to pull out a trolley, and I've got a big two bracelets saying bring them home. They're bright yellow, and in Hebrew and in English. And I was trying to get this trolley out of where it was stuck, and a young Muslim woman, a young woman, she was probably in her early 30s, I would say, came up to me. She saw what was happening, and she said, I'll help you. Just hold here, and I'll pull. And that's exactly what we did, and my trolley was loosened. And how often do we actually have to accept help to unloosen, whether it's our prejudices, our angers, our hurts and our pain? And both those incidents, well, the one with my grandchildren and the other, gave me hope. And then, of course, it was rugby, South African rugby. Now, for all of us from South Africa who have gone through apartheid years, we've known the unbelievable damage that apartheid caused to our family, to our country, to every single family who was living in South Africa at the time, and of course far more for the ones who were really targeted by apartheid. But when I see the rugby, I realize that anything is possible. I love to see it. First of all, as the anthem is sung, I start to cry. And because First, I know that Madiba, Nelson Mandela, told the team that they better all learn the new anthem, which is what they do, and they all sing it together. So our anthem is in many languages, as you know, and so the teams have to know all the languages and sing with heart, and they really do. So I love that. And then I love to look at the crowds in the stadiums. Oh, my word. All of them shouting and giving their opinions and their signs being held up and the mixing of every single South African there is wonderful to see. And then I realize there is hope. We cannot give hope at the moment, give up our hope for a better future, for a better life, for our children, for our world, and indeed, very definitely, for Israel and for Gaza. You know that the Palestinians, the Hamas attack has rocked all the entire world, and all the old hatreds are resurfacing, the angers, and everyone is beginning to feel very insecure about it. If only they would release our hostages. Those hostage families are amazing. You know, when I was in Israel in March with my daughter and my friend Charmaine, Shira, my daughter, and I went to Hostage Square. I have mentioned this before, but we went to the one kibbutz stand of near Oz. And there were two men who were talking to us there. They were some of the founders of Near Oz. And they told us how it was a peaceful. They were actually peace activists on this kibbutz and what had happened. And, you know, we asked him how he was managing. And he said they manage with each other, all of them together. And I think that is what we have to really realize, that we need to all give each other support at the moment, in whatever way we can. And if we see something that is not acceptable, to speak out. A bit later, I'm going to be reading something from a Druze man, and you yourselves can decide what you want to do with that. But I was also, I loved some, another thing that came out, which was, it said, from Gaza tunnels to the Champs-Élysées, freed hostage Ofer Calderon rides again at the Tour de France. And he was freed after 484 days in Hamas captivity. And he rode along the Champs-Élysées with Israel Premier Tech Pro Cycling Team during the Tour de France. His emotional journey from darkness to light highlights the human cost of war and the power of resilience through sport. I would really like you to go on and have a look at this article.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue on the Finding Human program, and you're going to be listening to another short audio clip, but it's Joel Osteen, You Are More Than Enough, Discover the True You.
Thank you. I want to talk to you today about the true you. See, there's a version of you that the world may not recognize yet. You're not defined by your past, your mistakes, or the labels others have put on you. The true you is strong, confident, blessed, and favored. The true you was formed by the Creator with a purpose and for a purpose. You have gifts, talents, dreams, not just to get by in life, but to rise higher, to make a difference, to leave your mark. Too often we let life bury the true us under disappointment, rejection, fear. We shrink back, we start believing lies. I'm not good enough. I've made too many mistakes. I'll never change. But I came to remind you today, that is not who you are. That may be who you've been acting like, but that's not the real you. Deep down, you are chosen, equipped, and empowered. You have everything you need already inside you. It's time to peel back the layers of doubt and step into the fullness of who you were created to be. When you align with that person, the true you, nothing can hold you back. Doors will open, chains will break, favor will follow you.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue on the Finding Human program. And if you'd like to contact me, you can on 061-895-1019 on Telegram. You were listening to Joel Osteen there, and you know what he's saying is that we need to look at how we have labeled ourselves and break free of that. Discover the true you. Let's break away from being labeled. And we are challenged at the moment to really to dig deep in ourselves and to stand up for what we feel is right of who we are and what we personally can give to the world. Each and every one of us needs to be a light to the world. And I'm not saying that in a biblical sense at all. I'm saying that within our friendships, when we go into shopping centers, we're all seeing each other and we are all becoming suspicious of one another. I've seen it, I've heard it, and I just feel that we ourselves have to take the responsibility and say, enough, I'm not going to fall into this trap and also start labeling. You know, I had to also look very closely at myself. And I was reading up about what's called trauma dose, which is the effect of a cumulative trauma. Well, if you look at war, violence, PTSD, many stress disorders. Hang on a sec. Sorry, I had to take a sip of water there. And I realized that something hit me while I was away that made me realize that I actually was suffering from some of this trauma dose, the effect of a cumulative trauma, and need help with it. Because we were going on a walk, my husband and I, to on the other side of the breakers in Umhlanga into the bush there, and there's wonderful walkways. And I said to my daughter, she said, it's very slippery, be careful. Now, if I come to very slippery areas, I do use a stick. And I said to her, are there rails on either side of the pathway? She said, yes, they're wooden pathways, and they're rails on either side. Well, off we go, and there's not a single rail on either side, and it's wooden, and they're slats. And I have an incredible fear of swing bridges. As a young child going up Mount Isaas, which is South Africa's highest mountain, with my parents and some friends, we had to go up some chain ladders. And I remember that was the first time of feeling a panic attack coming on. I had to be tied by a rope to the guide who was with us and then to my father as well behind me. I just couldn't step one foot forward. And I was walking along. I do have a problem with my ears. So they do start to affect my balance and my sight. So my eyes started jumping. I mean, I'm laughing now, but it wasn't a laughing matter. Anyway, and my friends who know me and have seen me on a swing bridge, especially in Plett, will know that at one stage I had to go on my knees to get across. So I started feeling this terrible panic coming over me, and my husband had gone ahead to go and get some coffee at the little coffee shop, and he wasn't there with me, and I froze, my hands froze and everything. Anyway, there was a young group of men, and the one came up to me and said, do you need some help? And I said, yes, please. So he kind of took my arm and he helped me. And he just stood with me for a moment. I might add that he was of a different culture and a different color to me. And I'm adding that especially because our help comes from so many different areas when we most need it. Anyway, he stayed with me until I seemed that he thought I'd settled and I thought I'd settled. And on I went. And the next moment, I froze again and couldn't move. By that stage, I called my husband, but he didn't hear me. Once again, someone stepped forward. He was a foreigner. I think he might have been from Sweden or somewhere. And he said, he came up to me immediately, he took my arm, and he said, and then he realized that I was not going to be able to move. So with his other arm, he actually put it around me. So he was holding my one arm, had his arm around me as well, to just settle me. It was very comforting, I must admit. Thank goodness my husband came to see why I was taking such a long time. I mean, the coffee by that stage was getting cold, and saw me in the strange man's arms and came up immediately to help me. But I realized that for me, there was almost this feeling of accumulative trauma. And, you know, I have a lot of family living in Israel, as many of you do, and other family living in other parts of the world. And obviously, this was where it hit me, back to a chain ladder that first hit me when I was about 10 years old, or, you know, even younger. You know, so unless we look deeper into our traumas, they do follow us through so many areas of our life. And that's what I realized, that I was experiencing a previous trauma, and I didn't need to experience it then. But I might add, on a good side to the story, we had gone down the wrong pathway. And coming back, sure enough, there was a pathway with railings on either side. It certainly didn't have gaps in between the wood or anything. It was solid, and I was able to get back to the car very easily. So sometimes we need the support of others to share our space, the space that we might be in. And this is what we need to be aware of. I was watching a group just a few months ago. It was a group of young women. They were all talking. And the one woman was sharing a really hard experience that she had had. And all of a sudden, someone else popped up with, you know, a story that she had heard of the same kind of experience, but she added it was embellished a bit more. And it wasn't her experience even. It was someone else's. But she seemed to feel the need to diminish the person who was telling us the story's experience. We've got to be very aware of this. We've got to give this safe space to each other, to be a supportive group to one another, wherever we are. And whether it's in getting a trolley from a Woolworths and we can help someone else, or help someone find something that they're looking for in the a grocery store, doesn't matter. Let's step out of our own little cocoons and start helping one another, not just our own people, but everybody else as well. Then the other thing I wanted to mention, that I'm going to be having, I'm hoping, someone on my program who is an evangelical Christian with children who are in the IDF, and he's on his way back to Israel again now. COVID knocked his business quite badly. But I will be having him back on my program, because the evangelical Christians are in the army and doing well. I saw a video of a group of youngsters at the Kotel, the Wailing Wall, shouting at a group of Christian visitors to leave. I was very angry and very shocked at this. They were young. They were, you know, trying to voice their own, what they were feeling, and it was not acceptable. But I read the comments under it, and the comments were bad. The comments said, well, what do you expect from the Jews? And they say they're a peaceful people. Anyway, I wrote my own comments saying a totally unacceptable behavior, I agree. And the Western Wall is a place of peace for whoever wants to find it. A place of peace are welcome to be there. But I said, I really think that you have labeled people far too negatively, and how dare you label an entire people because of a few youngsters' behavior. Now, we've seen this lately. We saw this. There was a group of 50 youngsters who were taken off a flight. They were singing a Hebrew song. There's a lot of controversy in this. personally, I don't really know the true story yet. One story says they shouldn't have been taken off. Their phones were taken. The videos were taken off. There were a group of Jewish students, young students, like I think they said between the ages of 10 and 15. Their madrik, the head of them, was detained, and they were taken off. They said that they were over rowdy. Well, you know, if you've ever taken a group of 50 kids anywhere, you'll know that they are definitely rowdy, but I don't think they should have been taken off an aeroplane, and I certainly don't think their leader should have been separated from them. So this is a story that we need to keep an eye on, and apparently it is being looked into. And then, of course, there was a ship that docked at one of the Greek Isles, and the Israelis were not allowed to disembark. Now, this is a collective punishment of a people. Why is nobody realizing this? Why is nobody actually asking, why are the hostages still being held? Why aren't they not being freed? I don't know if I'm sounding very confused today. It's because the world is a very confusing place. And we certainly are needing to read up more. And while I said to you that for me, connectivity being removed from it for a while showed me how often I do on the my phone and my iPad, I also realize we've got to educate ourselves. And when we see an article, for instance, that poor little Mohammed, who was shown to be starving as a starving child in Gaza, we need to look for it further. And we need to say, okay, where is this coming from? What can I learn from this? And then, of course, what can we learn from the Holocaust survivors? Now, on my program, I've often had lately Holocaust survivors, child Holocaust survivors, and what they have shown and the answers that I have, the questions and the comments that I've received from so many of you listening in, and I really thank you for the comments that you do send to me. Each and every one of you have said that you cannot believe how they have gone on living again after such trauma and loss. And they talk about generational Holocaust survivors, the generational after the generation of the Holocaust, how they are also there's still that trauma. And in Israel, they have got special ways of working with this. And it does come under a post-traumatic stress disorder sometimes with the second generation. But I was reading an article which came out in July, the 19th, and it said nearly 900,000 Israelis, soldiers and civilians, survivors and witnesses and family members who are living under harm's shadow for their loved ones are currently reporting symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, anxiety, at moderate to severe levels. We are in the midst of a national post-traumatic crisis. And when my little grandchild phones me from a bomb shelter saying she wants to come to South Africa, I realize that generation, that's a young generation, a seven-year-old, the trauma that she's feeling. And of course, then you look at Gaza and you see the trauma of those children as well. And you see what they're going through. I'm not talking about the starvation. I'm talking about the fear of the bombs falling, of the sounds, of the noises. And we, at least in Israel, have got bomb shelters for our children. Unfortunately, Hamas didn't have bomb shelters. Instead, they built tunnels. And those tunnels should have been opened to all their civilians. It would have taken their entire population into safety in those. And, you know, it's with the Holocaust survivors, we've also learned that every trauma carries a multi-generational shockwave, this article said. And it says that meaning that the second generation of Holocaust survivors require care and support. How true that is. It doesn't only damage, you know, that sort of trauma doesn't only damage the individual, but it disrupts the entire family, and this article was very good in showing that, and we need to be able to give one another that support. So when I heard this group of young women talking, some of them had family in Israel, living in Israel. And the one who was talking about a particularly serious incident in her own life when suddenly she was interrupted by a story that, you know, an extra bad story. So, you know, I would really like to say we need to stop, listen, and stop trying to give our own opinions on everything. Richard Kemp. Colonel Richard Kemp and Colonel Spencer are both British, retired British colonels, and they have written a lot about the war in Gaza. And I would suggest that if you want to listen to them, you can go onto their podcasts, their YouTubes, and I find them incredibly interesting, quite honestly, because it does show a different view, which we all need to hear. Thank you, Craig.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue on the Finding Human program, and you're going to be listening to another very short audio clip called You Were Made to Adapt.
Hi, I'm Mark. Now, stress is not always an enemy. Sometimes it's an open invitation to adapt, to evolve. Across time, life has survived not by strength alone, but by loads and loads of flexibility, by adjusting, not resisting. You see, you're not a fragile system. You're a system built on response. Response to assess and to reorganize, to move forward even when conditions change. The pressure that you sometimes feel is very, very real though. But so is your ability to shape, adapt and overcome and go around it. You don't have to be unaffected, you just have to keep on listening and adjusting and adapting. Resilience doesn't mean you never break. It means you know how to bend like bamboo in the wind. You know how to hold your shape. So when life asks for more and more of you, don't look for perfection. Look for motion. Because in that motion, that's how you'll adapt. That's how you'll overcome. And that is most certainly how you will thrive. Think about that.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
In that short video clip, they certainly said a lot about how to adapt, how to overcome, how to respond, to organize. That is all resilience. It's showing that we are resilient. Where is the sanity in all of this? We're looking at a world at the moment that has gone crazy. If you look at what's happening, as I said, in Australia, I was reading an article and it was talking about the unbelievable way that unbelievable way that Australians are having to face anti-Semitism and in very many different areas. And there was an article, why Australia's anti-Semitism problem can't be ignored any longer. It was an editorial. And it says when anti-Semitism is tolerated or dressed up as political critique, it doesn't stay in the abstract. It sets fires to synagogue, vandalizes restaurants, and it kills. Well, it doesn't only kill the person, but it can kill your spirit. So what that audio clip that you've just heard is how to adapt. What do we do is not to sit back and say, there's nothing we can do, we're hopeless. You've seen how in Israel, in Australia, they are certainly fighting back against us. And I will be having another program soon. You've all asked for another program and on Australia and how they are actually combating this. We will be doing that. Now, I told you about the Drew's father, and I wanted to tell you about what he had to say. His name is Shadi Khatib, K-H-A-T-I-B, Shadi, S-H-A-D-I, Khatib, K-H-A-T-I-B. And he says, if you would like to connect, please do so. He says, I'm a Druze, I'm a father, I'm a professional, and I am furious. What's happening in Sweda, Syria right now is not just another conflict. It's a massacre, ethnic, targeted, intentional. A peaceful community is being torn apart while the world's so-called leaders shake hands with the devil. Let's be clear. 248 people killed, most of them Druze, religious elders, humiliated, their beards forcibly shaved off, a direct echo of what was done to Jews by the Nazis, civilians executed in cold blood, their crime being Druze. And in the face of all of this, global silence. And then I see Julani, a known terrorist, an ISIS affiliate in a designer suit, hosted in European offices, called a nice guy by Trump, legitimized by Macron with handshakes and smiles. Do you think a tailored suit hides a history of extremism? Do you think the Druze don't see what's happening? We see everything and we will not forget. As a human being, I believe in dignity for all. As a Druze, I will not accept silence while my people are being slaughtered. As a father, I will not teach my children to bow to power. I will teach them to stand with truth. Enough hypocrisy. Enough handshakes with murderers. Enough pretending you care about human rights while doing business with those who destroy them. To my global network, this post is not for sympathy. It's a warning, a challenge, a confrontation. If you claim to stand for peace, for rights, for justice, then prove it. Speak up. Share this. Demand accountability. This is not a whisper. This is a Druze voice shouting across the world. Wake up. Act now. Stop the massacre. Because history won't remember what you said. It will remember what you allowed. There you are. That comes from a Druze father. And I would suggest that you go onto his site and see what he said. You can go on to Druze Lives Matters. You can go on to Sweda Massacre, S-W-E-I-D-A Massacre. And you can pick him up there.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008. Are you looking for delicious Mediterranean delicacies? Look no further than the original Friends Bakery in Sandringham. Our mouth-watering selection includes sabras, pitas, shawarma, falafel, pastries and burekas. We even cater for special occasions and offer delivery straight to your door. And on Fridays, we serve up exotic Shabbos dishes that will leave your taste buds dancing. Don't wait. Come into our store at 17 Ann Street in Sandringham or give us a call on 076 108 0085 to place your order today. The original Friends Bakery, where every bite is a taste of heaven.
Are you looking for new fun ideas for your child's birthday party? Well, look no further. Constructor Cubs is here. Powered by Tumbling Tigers, we'll use creative building skills to entertain your children throughout the birthday party. We are currently holding a 50% special on our birthday parties, so get in touch with us today at constructorcubs.co.za.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue, and I'm back with the Finding Human program. If I've sounded a bit angry on this program, I am angry. I'm angry at all the injustice. And, you know, when Shadi Khatib, the Druze father, spoke, he spoke about how the elders were being humiliated. And I don't know if you saw that was in on, I think it was probably on BBC or somewhere, that they showed a religious elder with his beard being shaved off in public, and he was badly hurt and actually died later in hospital. That is happening while the world is pretending that it's all Israel's fault and we've got to make peace with the world. Well, let's hope peace comes, but it's not going to come at any price. We are certainly going to go on fighting for our hostages who are still being held. But on a nice note, I read this on LinkedIn and it was from Sharon Landsman, and it says, hundreds of Christians in Germany, in Munich, Germany, formed a human chain around a synagogue to protect it from an Islamist demonstration that aimed to intimidate the local Jewish community. And there is a lovely photograph of all these people standing around the synagogue, protecting it from being attacked. So that is what can happen, definitely. And then what about the Gaza food shortage? I know a lot of you have been terribly worried about that food shortage. Please read Colonel Kemp's article on that and Colonel Spencer's. And there was also a nice photograph of a Gaza market bustling with active vendors as the IDF airdrops more aid into the strip. And of course, a lot of aid was spoilt because the UN wouldn't allow it to go in or didn't take it in. So there are so many double stories to, you know, two sides to every single story at the moment. You're going to be listening at the end of this program to a beautiful song that's just come out. And it's called Katoni. It's very sad, but I think it needs to be shared. And if you can go onto YouTube to see it, please do so, because it's called Katonti, which means small, trying to be worthy of God's grace. And it's a tribute to fallen heroes, and it's definitely needs to be shared at the moment. Thank you all for listening to me. I have enjoyed being with you. I'm going to be called to wrap up shortly. To next week, I will be here with a visitor, with a guest, and I will see you all then. Thank you, Craig.